Before we begin reading our scriptures this morning, let's have a prayer for illumination. O Lord, by your Spirit and your word, tell us what we need to hear. Show us what we ought to do so that we may be obedient to your will and live for your glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our unison reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It's found in the New Testament of your Pew Bible on page 194. This passage comes in the middle of a section describing our unity as a church, as the body of Christ. Though we are one in faith, we are gifted with different gifts for different services to the church. Pay attention to verses 11 and 12, which really turn up the volume. Make no mistake, we are called and gifted to equip the saints, that is, the members of the church, to do the work of ministry. We all are to do the work of ministry. We all are to do the work of ministry. We are all to do the work of ministry to the end that together we build up the body of Christ. Please read together with me, beginning with verse 11. The gifts he gave us were some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. If you'd like to follow along the passage, it's found in the Old Testament of your Pew Bible on page 65. As Moses leads his people, his father-in-law Jethro recognizes that Moses has assumed too much responsibility coordinating the life of his people with three bad results. Moses was overworked and could not cope with all he had to do. The people were deprived of the swift justice that was needed, and the elders and other competent individuals were deprived of using their talents. Jethro's advice and suggestions are good for us and our ministries as well. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 23. The next day, Moses sat as judge for the people, while the people stood around him from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all he was doing for the people, he said, "What is that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another. And I make known to them the statutes and instructions of God." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. Teach them the statutes and instructions, and make known to them the way they are to go and the things they are to do. You should also look for able men among all the people, Men who fear God are trustworthy and hate dishonest gain. Set such men over them as officers, over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. Let them bring every important case to you, but decide every minor case themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, and God so commands you, you will then be able to endure, and all these people will go to their home in peace. This is the word of the Lord.
So look at the sentences under my sermon title in the bulletin this morning. I'm not here to give you dietary advice or to stir up controversy between the sexes. I'm demonstrating what a profound difference a punctuation change can make. Take that first sentence. Let's eat, Grandma. Or is it, let's eat, comma, Grandma. He gave me $25 bills. Did he give you $25 bills, $100, or $25 bills, $25? Do you mean I find inspiration in cooking my family and my dog, or I find inspiration in cooking, comma, my family, comma, and my dog? That mispunctuation on the front of a magazine cover describing Rachel Ray, the television cook, got the copy editor in trouble, in hot water, because Rachel Ray is not a cannibal. She's not cooking her family and her dog. She finds inspiration in her cooking and in her family and in her dog. To lose weight, don't eat fast. That makes sense. Slow down your eating. You fill up a little quicker. You might not eat the whole thing. And then you lose some weight. But if you put a comma after the word eat, to lose weight, don't eat fast. You change from slow eating to no eating, and that makes all the difference. And so for some of you Neanderthal men, you may like the sentence the way it reads, a woman without her man is nothing. Or is it add a colon after the word woman and a comma after her. A woman, without her, man is nothing. I'll let you pick and choose what you think is correct. And the last, the Ephesians 4:12, it has some punctuation problems. At first, it seems to list three tasks, a three-pronged job description for Brian and me as the pastors. God gave us pastors, teachers, for equipping the saints for godly living, to do the work of ministry, and to build up the body of Christ. So if the church grows, praise us. If the church doesn't, blame us. But what if you change the punctuation, as the editors of the King James Version did, and what we have in our pew racks is the Revised Standard Version, second edition. They took out a comma from the first edition to the second edition. They changed the punctuation and drastically changed the meaning. Because church leaders are not to equip and to do the work of ministry and to build up the body of Christ, but church leaders are to equip the saints for the work of ministry to the end that we build up the body of Christ together. That's not three tasks. Now you have a statement of purpose and a goal. The purpose of church leaders is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And the goal is to build up the body of Christ. And it's not just the preachers that this verse applies to, because in verse 11, he gives some of the other church leaders, the church officers, the teachers. Leaders now would include the elders and the Presbyterian women officers and circle leaders and Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and youth fellowship advisors and session team chairs and the members of the teams. The list goes on and on and on. It's by working together we will build up the body of Christ and will increase the work of the church and give more people a spiritual life and therefore grow together as a community, closer together, and accomplish our mission. The problem is that pesky comma in verse 12 is a fatal comma, because the minister tries to do it all by him or herself, it's going to kill him, just like Moses' father-in-law Jethro told him. And by trying to do it alone, the minister kills the ministries of all the other people who are equally gifted in various ways. We're not all baked potatoes, we're not all fried potatoes, we're not all scalloped potatoes. We each have individual gifts and abilities and ways to serve. Each person, each one of you has God-given gifts to use for the good of others. Take pride in what you can accomplish and take glory in what you're able to do for Jesus for other people. And we have abilities and gifts and talents to offer the ministry and the life and mission of the church that prospers more when we're all serving together. Moses learned that the hard way. Remember, Moses was the great spiritual leader, great spiritual advisor. He knew God's laws. He gave good judgments for the people. And he stood on behalf of God before his people, and he stood before his people on behalf of God. And they all came and they stood all day waiting for an audience with Moses to give their need, their complaint, their case. And Moses' father-in-law was watching all this. Saw the pileup of work, saw the people standing around all day, and he said, it's not good for you, it's not good for them. What you're doing is not good. You and your people are going to wear out, they're going to wear out too. And it's too much for you. Translation, you're going to die from the fatal comma. Share the work. Teach others the laws. Teach others the statutes and put them in charge of groups. And you'll notice that some are great, put them in charge of the thousands. The others who don't have that ability, put them in charge of the hundreds. Those who have the great gift and their ability to work with small groups, put them in charge of the tens. Though Moses was a great leader, it was when he took Jethro's advice and began sharing the leadership and the responsibility that the work prospered. And the people matured. And Paul writes to the Ephesians that we are to mature to the fullness of Christ. We are to grow up together. So it goes for the church. The church leaders are to equip the people for the work of ministry. The goal is to build up the church so we can accomplish our mission. To love God, love neighbor, make disciples, and make a difference. We glorify God by fulfilling our mission. And one of our four ministry goals is about 2021, 75% of our church members will be serving God through in the church or through the church to the community. A rough estimate of the total number of volunteers needed to conduct our present ministries, everything from ushers to service teams to mission groups to the Jelladim 5K to Sunday school to youth, everything that we do together. When the session sat down last year and listed every volunteer position that we have, we needed 353 volunteer positions filled. Many members are already serving in multiple areas. Some of you are doing 5 and 6 and 7 jobs. Good for you as long as you don't burn out. So our goal is not just to get more people involved, just to have more people involved, but to say you've got talents and abilities that you are not contributing to God's goodness in this good work. What can we do that meets your passion and your talent and gives you a sense of fulfillment of serving God in this capacity? So we're working to create this accurate list of all the volunteers we have and all the positions to give us a baseline of what percentage of our membership is involved. And we have a one-page job description of every volunteer position. So now you know what you're signing up for and what the time commitment is and what resources we'll give you and what we can do to train you. It takes a lot of people to do the ministries of Trinity Presbyterian Church. And my friends, when I tell them what we're doing, they're just going, and you've got how many people? We wear out our buildings to the glory of God. Sometimes we wear out our people to the glory of God. But we hope that church members are finding fitting avenues for service. But then we've got to train you in the skills needed and then encourage you and assist you in your work. Because if we don't train you for your responsibilities, we fail you. You get frustrated. You resent being pushed into a job position for which you are not adequately prepared. And you lose interest. And you quit. So our next task is to organize times this spring to train all of our volunteers and all the positions so that you are ready and equipped and prepared to start what we're going to do together. We hope that by May, all of our volunteer positions will be filled. And even new ideas for new things are coming, and we can tap the people who have the gifts to do those things. At the ministry fair this after church, if you walk out the parlor, there are going to be children holding signs. Will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this? And the proper response is yes. So your Connect card is say yes. The teams of the volunteers will be there to share something of the work that they do and what we need and how you can share their endeavors and what gifts and talents and passions we need and how serving in the capacities they now serve enriches their souls and gives them a sense of satisfaction. Come see what endeavors God may be calling you to do. And if you ever feel that your talent is unneeded, unimportant, take heart. 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul asks, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? Not all have the power to work miracles or to heal diseases or to speak in tongues. Not all have the ability to interpret what is said. No one person has all the gifts and abilities that we need. Not one person has all the leader's functions and service abilities that we need, but all of you have some ability, some passion, some desire, some dream you can offer God. We need your gifts. We need your abilities in service to God. Let me tell you some of our top priorities. We need people to teach children Sunday school. We need nursery sitters to assist Miss Patsy and a staffer on a regular basis. Not every Sunday, but occasionally you'll be on a rotation, because if we're going to attract and retain young families of this church, we must have an excellent nursery. And we have lost people recently because they came and we didn't have nursery sitters. What does that tell to young families who are interested? Well, we want you here, but we don't have a proper nursery for you. We've got to step up our efforts. And in Tennessee, 30 years ago, we got rid of our paid workers and we had volunteer teams to work in the nursery. And 30 years later, the members are still doing that. We could do that here with a paid staffer who's going to be there for continuity every week. But if you love God and you love children, this is your chance. We need folks to establish an all-new adult education team to look not just at small groups, but Sunday school and other endeavors we can do with adults. And I feel we have a great need to reach out to the 20s and 30s young adults and say, what are your needs? Let's explore the resources. Let's find the program that you need. And then you can invite your friends and say, they're meeting our needs at Trinity. Won't you come and see? We need Trinity shepherds to stay in touch with our sheep. Just visiting or calling, and occasionally we do it about quarterly each year before Christmas and Easter and the summer and Vacation Bible School and others, say, how you doing? What's going on? Do you have needs? Are there things we could be doing for you? Do you know about this thing coming up that we're doing next month? Staying in touch with our sheep has brought them greater capacity, a feeling of connection, and people are aware. We need teachers for adult Sunday school, and I just went there with the young adults. This is something we do all the time, but let's be intentional, have a holistic program for a repeating program for a whole year. If those don't scratch your itch, here's some other things. We need a team to organize fellowship events, not food, activities. We need folks to visit our members at home or in the hospital with congregational care. They have training, they have a schedule, they'll help you put you in place. We need folks to babysit on Friday nights once a month for tango, for young adults to have a place to come and bring their children in a safe zone and know that they are there while they're fellowshipping and advancing their Sunday school together. We always need Presbyterian women, volunteers, circle leaders, people participants. We need your financial insight on the budget and finance team. We need drivers to take people to the doctor's office or the grocery store. Take them to lunch while you're out. We need folks to clean out classroom closets, change filters, change light bulbs occasionally. Between now and the rummage sale, we're going to go through every closet and every storage room here. We've got pictures. It'll break your heart to see what has accumulated. We've got to purge and clean out and have a breath of fresh air as we get ready to start again. We need a dinner dean who might host the Wednesday night supper and prepare the PowerPoint presentations that I now do. I'm going on sabbatical later in the year, and that will be a great chance for you to take a couple of months and welcome everybody and do the announcements and have a prayer for Wednesday night supper. We need servers at Loaves and Fishes, always. Great service that we do. It is so meaningful work when you come and see that. We need your prayers and your help in creating the prayer cards that we send out every week. The list goes on and on. These are not trivial things. These are not just a potato. It's service. They are actions of love and care. And you are utilizing your gifts in ministry, and there's a myriad of other things that you'll find listed over there. You are enriching the lives of other people in activities great and small. Some interpersonal, very close related. Some at a distance, behind the scene. Everybody has a role to play. So where does all that touch you today? Many of you are already involved in the work and ministry. And you may have something that God has already laid on you to be doing this year. It may be in your family at home. It may be something here at Trinity. It may be something you're already doing in the greater community above and beyond Trinity. You may be a worker bee, or you may be the leader, the figurehead. You might be a financial backer of the workers who are doing the work. But for you, this thing is your call, it's rewarding, this is your passion, this is your ministry. Thank God for it and keep on doing it. Others of you are asking, why doesn't Trinity do some things that are so obvious to you? I mean, no one's offering a program for people my age or my need. Why not? Why don't they offer a program to address this issue? Why don't they do this or do that? Raising questions is a positive step. It's often a gateway to a ministry. But considering the fatal comma, maybe the proper question is not, why don't they? Why don't I? We're very adept at raising questions and planning things for other people. Somebody should do something about that. Somebody should organize that thing over there. Somebody ought to take charge of that. But when God gives you a vision, that usually that vision comes with a call for your service. And as long as items remain somebody, everybody, anybody should do that. But when you take it on, it gets done. So what are you feeling called to do? Now's the time when everyone examines their shoelaces. Yeah, somebody ought to do that. What are you, God calling you to facilitate or to organize or to try and say, no, that's not it. It's got to be something else. Or I never knew this would be what I enjoy doing. Thank you for asking me. Come to the ministry fairs, won't you? Greet the children as you walk by and see the needs that are asking you. And maybe you'll be the one to say, yes, I will do that. Walk through the parlor and you'll see children with signs directing you to the gym. You can go through there or you can go down the hallway, the TLC Christian Ed hallway. Look at the need for the facility updates we'll be talking about shortly. You know, it'd be simpler if that pesky comma would just remain there in Ephesians 4:12. But it won't. It can't. It mustn't. And church leaders don't and can't and mustn't try to do all the work for themselves, because it's just easier to do my way than to train somebody else how to do it. Because what if they do it a different way? And we've always done it this way. Don't change anything. Because God's design is that every Christian, every child of God, has been given God-given abilities and talents and developed other talents and abilities and insights and knowledge and experience that will make you a servant of Christ to the church or through the church to God's people. So that combined, all the Trinity work, we will build up the body of Christ together and mature together and bring glory to God as we fulfill our mission. And even if just every one of you leaves today with that nagging thought, well, if all ministers, all people are called to do something, what's my ministry? What am I called to do specifically in the name of and the sake of Christ? I'll be satisfied. But I'll be more thrilled when you step up and say, I can do that. Enjoy the ministry fair. Find your spot. Enjoy the conversation and the follow-ups, and enjoy your lunch today. Just don't eat grandma. God, it's all that easy, isn't it? But it's all that hard. Because what is my gift, my calling, my talent? And what if I'm not good at it? But God, with your help, I'll give it a try. And I'll trust others to help me find the way. And I'll eventually find my spot. Thank you, God. Amen.